puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for Abandoned Manitoba. Again, Gordon Goldsborough joins me now from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, the clue you left us with last week did leave me blushing a little bit, but remind us again of what you said.
Well, I said we were going to discuss an abandoned site where I suspected that at least a few of our listeners had been conceived.
Which abandoned site were you referring to?
I was referring to an abandoned drive-in movie theater in Portisla Prairie. And without putting too fine a point on it, let's just say that some of the patrons would prefer romance as opposed to watching the movie, especially if you were parked in the back row.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, so tell us about the history of this particular
movie. Well, drive-ins generally are a function of the 1950s. That was really the age of the automobile. People wanted, for one reason or another, to do everything in their automobile. They could travel the continent, they could see things they had never been able to see before, but even, you know, more mundane things. So instead of staying at a hotel, they wanted to stay at a motel. And so you saw them driving right up to the door of their room. They would go to a restaurant where they would just pull in and a waitress would come out and take their order and then a little later bring a tray that would clip onto their window. They'd eat in their car. And of course, the first drive-in restaurant was here in Winnipeg, the first A&W out on Portage Avenue on the west-hand side. So whereas previous generations had gone to movie theaters where you'd go in a large room and everybody would be together and you'd watch the movie there. Now everybody wanted to sit in their car. Well, in fact, even the late 1940s, the very first drive-in theater here in Manitoba was on Pembina Highway, not far from the University of Manitoba campus. In fact, if people drive down Bishop Grandin Drive, right where it intersects Pembina Highway, that was where the very first drive-in in Manitoba was, opened in the mid-1949. So,
okay, interesting.
Yeah. So through the 50s, there was something like 23 drive-ins that popped up. There were seven at one time in Winnipeg, another 16 in communities all over rural Manitoba.
That's a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, people went to watch the latest, you know, flicks. Typically, they would arrive at dusk because, of course, you had to wait until it was dark enough so you could see the movie on the big screen. Usually, there'd be at least a double bill, so there'd be an intermission between them. I can remember even as a teenager going to the dusk to dawn movies where they would just basically play all night. And, you know, so a lot of people would just fall asleep and wake up the next morning and go on your way.
Very vibrant dreams that night.
Absolutely.
How often would the movies play every week?
Well, in the early days, every day of the week. The one we're talking about, for example, is the Circus Drive-In. It opened in Portisla Prairie in the fall of 1952. It staged double bills every night of the week. Now, of course, later that wasn't quite as common. I know that certainly even in the early days, the middle of the week was not as popular as the weekends. So, for example, the one in Portage, the circus, on Wednesday nights, they had what they called photo night. And the idea was it was kind of an end run around gambling laws back then. Basically, you would register in advance and then they would have all the names in a hat. They'd pull a name. And if your name was pulled, you would win prizes ranging from cash to jewelry to appliances, gift certificates at local merchants. But of course, Canadian laws didn't allow you to just get something for nothing. You had to do something to deserve this prize. So what you would do is you would sell them your photo. And so that was why they called it photo night. If your name was drawn, you'd give them your photo and then return, you'd get all these wonderful prizes.
So sticking by the law, I love it.
And that was Wednesday nights because, say, typically a slow night for the movies.
Now, what I love about this is that it's not just about seeing the movie. There's a whole experience behind it. Tell us some stories.
Absolutely. So like the one in Portage, the theater there had room for over 400 automobiles. And of course, each car would have at least one person in it, but usually more. And in fact, one of the rituals was to see how many people you could sneak in. So rather than having them inside the car where they could be counted and then the bill accordingly, you stick them in the trunk and hopefully they wouldn't be seen and you could sneak in and then let them out and they could watch the movie. Another one I remember was the crummy acoustics. They had these speakers that would hang on the inside of the window for the sound, and they were not at all high fidelity. And so the sound quality was just terrible. I don't know why people wanted to go to the drive-in movie to listen to that kind of crummy quality. Well, in fact, by the time I was a teenager, they had switched to using radio broadcasts, a very sort of short-distance radio, either AM or later FM. And the cool thing about that then is that you could sit right outside the theater, like outside the grounds, outside the fence, with your portable radio, and you can listen to the movie. Of course, it costs you nothing because you're not actually in the area.
Of course.
Yeah. But the absolute favorite, my recollections are the intermissions, because, of course, they had many movies. They didn't have an intermission. They had what they called a refreshment center in the middle of the grounds, and they would do their darndest to get you to come in and enjoy all the wonderful treats, you know, the refreshing drinks, the hot dogs, the, you know, the ice cream. And they had these most wonderful videos to exhort you to go in and buy some of these treats. And I remember, for example, the dancing hot dog. Well, in fact, if you want to be nostalgic, if you go to YouTube and just search on drive-in intermission ads, you can watch hours, literally hours of these cheesy videos from the 50s and 60s from these intermissions. They're just absolutely wonderful.
See, I missed the drive-in craze, but I did grow up on Grease. And there's that great song that Danny Zuko sings, Stranded at the Drive-In. So I know these hot dog adverts like the back of my hand.
Absolutely, yep. And so the whole thing continued through the 60s. The circus at Porter's Prairie, it actually renamed itself sometime after 1962. It became the Delta Drive-In. I think they were sort of riffing on the popularity of the Delta Beach north of Porter's La Prairie when they renamed it. And then the peak of drive-in movies was in the mid-1970s. By that time, there were something like 300 drive-ins across Canada. So say, and here in Manitoba, we had somewhere in the vicinity of around 20. Well, ultimately, of course, the early 1990s, we saw a whole change in the way people got entertainment. More and more people stayed home. They watched television, or now we started seeing this thing called the internet where we could watch things online. So the Delta Drive-In closed in 1992. And in fact, its last owner was an 84-year-old gentleman by the name of John Ferguson. And he had actually been a movie projectionist since 1925. You know, so he had a long, long, long trend with these drive-ins. Well, he retired, and I think that was sort of the coup de grace, and the Delta Drive-In closed. But that wasn't the last drive-in in Manitoba, because some people may recall there was the Odeon just outside of Winnipeg near Headingley. It actually continued into the 21st century. They announced they were going to close it in 2004, and there was such a public hue and cry that they backed off, and ultimately it didn't close until 2008. But in fact, there are still, as far as we know, three drive-ins still open today. There's one in Morden. There is one in Flin Flon, which advertises itself as one of the most northerly, if not the most northerly drive-in in North America. And there's also one in Killarney. Now, the one in Killarney has had some fits and starts, and I talked to a person earlier this year that said, yes, it was going to open this year. I don't know for sure. The Shamrock in Killarney, which opened in 1952, I'd be interested if any listeners can confirm whether or not the Shamrock opened this year. But there are places in Manitoba where you can still go for that true drive-in movie experience.
I love it.
Well, you know, and if you go to the site of the old drive-in in Porter's La Prairie today, you won't see very much that reminds you of it was there. The site is occupied by a family farming operation, a big office building, some big warehouses. But there is a clue, because the old projection screen is still there. It's kind of partially hidden in all the foliage, but if you get out and walk around, you actually can walk inside it. There's a sort of a structure there, and you can go inside and see the detail of this old projection screen from the movie. So it's still there.
I'm going to go on YouTube and check out those hot dog
ads. Oh, you absolutely at some point. Have to.
I waste a few hours on that. Thank you
great.
So much. Now, what's your clue for next time?
We're going to look at an abandoned example in St. Boniface of a structure that once towered over many prairie communities.
Okay. Now, I said next time instead of next week, because we're not going to see you for a while, because you're going to be very busy doing something very exciting. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, some listeners may know that about a year ago, I launched a book called Abandoned Manitoba that was based on this radio series. And boy, did it do well. I far exceeded my expectations. And so on that basis, the publisher is willing to have me write a sequel. Well, of course, many people know that sequels are never quite as good as the original they're based upon. And I really want to fight against that stereotype. I want to come up with a book that's even better than the original. So to do that, I need time. And in fact, I've got to, for example, go to the National Archives in Ontario. I've got to spend some research time. And for that, I need time. So I've asked the CBC if they'd be willing to reduce the frequency of these shows. And they very generously said, absolutely.
Generously and very reluctantly. But we still have you coming back with us every first Sunday of the month, which we're very grateful for.
And once the book is done, who knows what'll happen.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
You're welcome, Nadja.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.